Jared. Is my mind open to the idea of accomplishing greater things? You know, when you get all your bills paid and you got a little stash in the bank, a little something put away, there's a tendency to just want to keep that under control. You know, the human nature. Just, you know, if see, sometimes when your vision is just to get out of debt, once you get out of debt, you get back in it because your vision is to get out of it. You know, so you keep getting in it to get out of it because that's your vision. Now, nothing wrong with debt. If it's good debt, bad debt is what you don't want. But some people that just are steady trying to get out of because they've not seen any further. Is my mind open to the idea of accomplishing greater things than you've accomplished to the point that you're at? Number two, can I believe there's a greater purpose in my DNA? Can you believe that there's something greater God wants to do in you and through you than where you are now? It irritates or aggravates our comfort zone. Now I'm not one that is against comfort. I like comfortable chairs. I'd have a hard time if we had metal chairs in here now. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with metal chairs. You know what I mean? It's just I like comfort, but I'm talking about the comfort zone, where you don't want to go any further. God's not finished with you yet, but you don't want to go any further. You know, Peter, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, said, Lord, let us stay here and build three tabernacles. Let's just hang out here. You, me, Elijah, Moses, and us. Listen, Peter, you understand. There's a demon down in the valley that needs to be cast out right now. Can I believe there's a greater purpose in my DNA? Here's a million-dollar question. Where do you want to be in 5 years from now? Where do you want to be? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever imaged? You ever saw yourself looking good, feeling good? And somebody saying they might, child, I might be dead. Well, that's you. Bye bye. We'll get your flowers. what have you imaged? What is the dominant image in your mind? Oh, listen, everything I'm saying right here are biblical principles. You know how you can control the future? We're not controlling God. But you can control your future by planning. Amen. Some people don't ever have enough time. Time always gets away from them because you don't plan. Amen. You'd be amazed how orderly your thoughts become when you plan. When you strategically start doing things. I'm not saying in a legalistic, you know, nitpicking kind of way. Just some of us need to plan. You know, a swamp is where water just comes into a pool that has no outlet. Amen. And it just sits. And then you get all kind of stuff growing in there. Bacteria, you know, the little tadpoles. You got mosquitoes. They love the swamps. And gators, whatever, come into the swamp. But a river flows because it has banks on the side of it. It has some boundaries. See, sometimes stuff ain't flowing because you ain't got no boundaries on the side. You have nothing making a demand on you. And so you come into a swamp area, just settling. And what's sad about it is you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. You know you're not fully obeying God. Tell somebody it's time for the big bang. First verse I want to mention to you, Isaiah 59 verse 19. Isaiah 59 verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and the glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy, now this morning I moved the commas around in this verse, and I'm just paraphrasing here. I'm just kind of, you know, putting my own idea here, but I want you to take that comma from behind flood and put it when the enemy shall come in. Put it after in. All right? So it reads like this: when the enemy shall come in, comma. Then it says, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So it kind of flips the script. Instead of the enemy coming in like a flood, no, the enemy just comes in. But the Lord is the one that comes in like a flood and raises up a standard against him. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, and before we go to that verse, let me give you number four, the fourth question. What will it take for you to get there where you want to be in 5 years? Have you ever thought about it? Have you marinated? Have you crock-potted it? Have you cultivated it? Do you have a plan? Or are you just guessing, a hoping and a praying? And number five, who will go with you? Who do you want to take with you where you want to be in 5 years? Who don't you want to take? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. I don't want to read that second part, just the first part. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. I pray that God, in his own supernatural way, will begin to add the due value to some of us that is ours by right. You know, in this day and time, if you listen to the wrong things long enough or around the wrong people long enough and partaking of the wrong stuff long enough, you will devalue the precious gift of Christ in you. You are a chosen people. Tell somebody right now, I'm chosen. You're not here by happenstance, coincidence, accident. God chose you. The Winans used to sing a song back in the 90s, millions didn't make it, but I'm one of them that did. Think about the millions of people, or even the people that you know, that care nothing about God, have no relationship with God, don't care anything about church, all misconstrued and mixed up and confused about stuff, serve the devil. And here you are. God called you out. How about that best friend that committed suicide? That one that died from a drug overdose. You and him were like that. That one that got shot and killed. The one that went to prison. And there you were. You should have been in that number two. But God had his eye on you. Have you ever thought about that stuff? We take some time for granted the gift of life. And even if you're suffering right now or dealing with issues or problems or facing giants, think about what could have been. And then I have a question for you. Has God ever failed you? I said, has God ever failed you? You can't look at me with a straight face and tell me that God has ever failed you. He has never, it's not in his DNA. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. His word cannot fail. So if there's some fixing to be done, it's fixing on our part. Tell somebody it's time to upgrade. I wonder why people are constantly asking God for stuff that needs to be fixed when you can ask God for something that don't have to be fixed. Amen. Thank you for the two people clapping over here. Everybody else looking at me like you're crazy. I saw two people clapping. I said, why are you asking God all the time to fix something? It done broke again. The Lord blessed me to get it fixed. It's this the 10th time. But every time, somehow the Lord, why don't you ask him for something that don't break? It's not like God can't do it. That slave mentality. That scent of Egyptian perfume. The scars of Egypt. The mentality. All that has to be broken. And in our study in Genesis, if you've heard anything, if you've gleaned anything, then you have all the tools, if you'll appropriate them, if you'll believe them and appropriate them to take you to another level. Some of us have been going around a particular mountain long enough. You're tired of it, and some of y'all say, I'm sick and tired of this. And I'm saying, well, don't get sick over it. Just get away from it. Get tired enough where you actually get up and do something about it. Change is not change until you change. You can think about it all you want. You can talk to your friend about it all you want, because when you talk about it, it's just idle talk anyway. But if you don't change, it ain't change. I used to struggle with the things that I would think in my mind that were so wonderful and awesome on how to get it from there into reality. But I want to give you the formula. I want to show you in the Big Bang Theory. Are you open? Are your ears open? Are you ready to hear? Okay. God's going to lift up a standard. From today forward, I pray that you in your personal life will allow God to lift up the standard against it like a flood. In Genesis, let me just go back to Genesis 1. When we talk about the Big Bang, many call it a theory, but it's not. It's reality. Verse 1, there was a world. Much happened between verse 1 in the beginning and verse 2. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
Sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes.